We have two readings today, and the first one is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Our next reading is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thanks, Francine. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. It's been said a lot this morning, but it's still good. We're going to be looking at Jesus, our King. We've been looking at Jesus as our prophet, Jesus, our priest, and today we're looking at Jesus, our King. So let me get myself sorted here and then we'll pray. Would you pray with me? Jesus, as we gather here this morning to celebrate your birth, we celebrate the birth of a great King, the King that we need. I pray that you'd open our hearts and open our minds and give us a glimpse of who you are. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. What's the longest you've ever waited for a promise? A few weeks ago, we were sorting out our Christmas shopping and we ordered a Christmas present and we sort of neglected to think we're actually ordering it from overseas and we left it a little bit late. So we've been kind of doing the daily, kind of nervously watching the tracking information. You know, that gift, that promise, we're not quite sure if it's going to make it by Christmas Day or not. There is this promise gift that we're waiting for, but we're not quite sure. Actually, you might be happy to know someone here that it might have just made it under the tree in time. What's the longest you've waited for a promise? This year, our family had a big extended holiday, and we planned it 9 months ahead. That was 9 months of waiting, 9 months of planning, 9 months of excitement building for the day to finally come. And as it got closer, it felt like this promise was just around the corner. We all kind of struggled to sleep the night before we all jumped on the plane. There was this promise plan that we were waiting to see happen. What about a promise of someone? We have a member of our family that lives far, far away. She can maybe visit maybe once every year, once every 2 years, but when she comes, we are all eagerly waiting. We get ready, we shuffle around the bedrooms, we tidy the house. There's little notes and gifts and surprises for when she arrives. We count down the days till she flies in and we can see her again. We're eagerly waiting for her to arrive. There's this promised person who's going to arrive soon. A promised gift, a promised plan, a promised person. What's the longest you've waited for a promise? When Jesus was born, he was the fulfillment of a promise. A long, long awaited promise. Listen again to those words in Isaiah, written 600 to 700 years before Jesus was born. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. A promised son, a promised child, a promised king. God had promised a king. Those ancient Jews had been waiting a long, long time for God's Messiah, his promised king. And you can tell they were waiting from the reading that we read in Matthew. Let me read the first part again. This is from Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and we've come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. In the Gospel accounts, it's Luke who gives us the scene of the baby in the manger. What Matthew seems to be recording here is something that happened about 2 years later. And that gives you some idea of how far these Magi have traveled from the east. They didn't have frequent flyer miles back in those days. They've come a long way. They're foreigners who've seen something in the stars and they set out to find a newborn king. But this is when the story hits a snag. Herod is king of the Jews. It makes sense that they would head to the palace in Jerusalem. They are looking for a king. But Herod is the king of the Jews. He was a vassal who'd been put in power by the Romans, kind of an under king doing the work of the Romans. And as far as he was concerned, Israel had a king. He was it. He was disturbed. Jerusalem, the ruling elites of Jerusalem, they're disturbed. This was an unexpected, unofficial, and frankly unwelcome state visit from some foreign dignitaries. But did you see what Herod does? Did you notice? Herod called together the chief priests and the elders of the law, that is, the Bible nerds, and he asked where the Messiah was to be born. He knew, and they knew, that God had promised a messianic king. And just like Isaiah, writing 700 years before, they point to a prophecy in the book of Micah, written about the same time. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Jesus was the king that God had promised for centuries. Understand this. If God had made promises that he would give them a king hundreds of years before, what we're looking at here is a divine plan. What happened in Jesus' life wasn't a random series of events. God had an intention. He had a plan. God was doing something that he had planned for centuries. And we should listen to it. Christians say that Jesus is the hinge upon which all of history and the fate of humanity swings. To ignore Jesus is to ignore the most significant person that ever walked the face of this earth. Because there's something different about this king, something unique about this king. King Jesus is utterly unique among the kings of the world. If you take the long view of history, the long view, kings, emperors, rulers, warlords, they're practically a dime a dozen. They've always been men and occasionally women that have risen up to rule over their subjects. But Jesus is different. Jesus is utterly different. If Jesus were like any other king, he would have been born on silk sheets in the palace of King Herod. He would have ruled with force or with might. He would have had monuments and symbols in his honour. He would enjoy the benefits of royal honour and splendour and wealth if he was like any other king. And yet Jesus didn't. We heard earlier, he was born to poor peasants, laid in a feeding trough, travelled as an itinerant teacher and healer with nowhere to lay his head. If you read the gospel accounts, the stories of Jesus' life, there are moments when he actively resists seizing power. And this wasn't kind of like a rags to riches, poor boy come good story where he kind of starts in the manger and then kind of winds up in the palace. All through Jesus' life, he lives in humility. If you've never explored Jesus' life, can I encourage you to do it? We have a bunch of these. This is one of the accounts of Jesus' life. If you've never looked into it, take one of these and read about Jesus. Discover who he is, because he's utterly unique. Every king, one thing you can say about kings, they always have people who serve them. But Jesus told his followers that service is greatness. In his kingdom, the greatest in his kingdom is the servant of all. And he backed it up. He said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served. I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's this moment in Jesus' life where he appears to have a royal procession. He kind of comes into Jerusalem in a royal procession, but he rides on a donkey. He's utterly unlike the rulers of his day. His only crown was a crown of thorns. His only monument was a cross of crucifixion. He is utterly unique amongst the kings of the world. But don't let me give you the impression that he wasn't a mighty king. Listen again to the words in Isaiah. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Whatever titles and honors are given to the kings of the world, they are nothing compared to what Isaiah says of this king, a king who is Mighty God and a king who is the Prince of Peace. His kingdom is unique. Listen again, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, upholding it and establishing it with justice and with righteousness. Have you ever traveled to a different country and experienced culture shock? Has anyone had that experience? Some things, you kind of land in a foreign place, and some things you notice immediately. They're immediately different. But then there's some things you can't quite put your finger on it, but it just feels out of place. Words kind of mean different things in different places. Customs that are totally fine in one place are considered rude in another. There's this national character. It's kind of hard to put your finger on until you're plunged into it and you begin to see the differences. I've known people who've lived overseas for many, many years, and then have returned, they've come back to Australia, and there's this culture shock of things that they never noticed until they've been away for a long, long time. Jesus' kingdom, I think, can come with a massive culture shock for us. Here is a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of righteousness, and it is such a contrast to a world that is governed so often by violence and injustice and pride. It seems so different to how things normally work. But isn't that the kingdom that you long for? Isn't that what you actually hope for? A kingdom that rules with peace? A kingdom that rules with justice? A kingdom that rules with righteousness? No doubt there have been some good and just rulers throughout history, but none like Jesus, none like Jesus. He taught love for his enemies. He taught to turn the other cheek. All through his life, he is upholding perfect justice and yet also extending compassionate mercy. His reign is a reign of love and peace, upheld with justice and righteousness. And as I look through history and as I look around the world today, I see plenty of rulers who use war and injustice and unrighteousness to hold sway over their people. to push their own agenda for their own purposes. But when I look at Jesus, when I look at Jesus, I see his authority blended with service, his justice blended with mercy, his glory expressed with perfect humility. I see a king unlike any other. For those of us who've seen who Jesus is, his rule and his reign are good news. It's horrible news for the despots who want to use injustice and power to rule over others with fear. But it is great, good news for those of us who long for a world of righteousness, who long for a world of justice, who long for a world of peace. People serve King Jesus, but not because he's a tyrant who rules with fear. We serve him because he demonstrates perfect authority, perfect power, but with peace and justice and righteousness and love. Here is the servant king, the servant king. We serve him out of grateful love. Do you serve this king? Is he your Do you live your life as though you are a part of his kingdom, listening to him, walking in his ways? Again, I want to urge you, if you are just exploring Jesus, maybe you got dragged along by a family member this morning, take one of these and actually look at who Jesus is. Don't take my word for it. Actually read it and see what this says about who Jesus is. We've talked about how this king was promised. And we've talked about how Jesus is utterly unique among the kings of the world. But we also need to think about Jesus being the eternal king. The eternal king. You can hear there's something strange about this king in the verses again from Isaiah. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah pictured a king who would reign forever. A king who would reign forever. Isaiah isn't the only Old Testament prophet who points to a king with an eternal throne. There's plenty of other prophecies that talk about this eternal king. How could that be? We all know that every king has his day and then dies. They might leave behind a dynasty, maybe a great empire, but this is different. This is a king who will reign forever. Before Jesus was born, God again gave that promise. This is what the angel spoke to Mary. Listen to it again. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." He will reign forever and his kingdom will never end. A kingdom that will never end. How can that be? How is that possible? Did God promise something here that was just a fairy tale, something that could never be a reality? How could this king reign forever over a kingdom that will never end? Well, the early church believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. That is what they witnessed, that Jesus rose from the dead. They believed that God had promised a king who would reign forever and that Jesus' resurrection demonstrated he was that king. And again, I want to encourage you, if you've never thought about the evidence for Jesus' resurrection, it's worth looking into. If it's true, it is the most important fact of history. But it wasn't just the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead that was important to them. There's good historical evidence for that. But it wasn't just the fact that it happened. It was what they thought that it meant about the universe, These are the words of Paul, one of Jesus' early followers. Therefore, God exalted him, that is Jesus, exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How do we go from the baby in the manger to the child receiving gifts from the Magi, to the suffering Saviour, to the eternal risen King? It was always God's plan that Jesus would come and live and die and rise so that he would be exalted above everyone and everything. And we are gathered here today to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Think about how many kings have been born and how many kings have died since that night 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. A few decades after those kings are gone, you struggle to remember who they were and you struggle to remember what they did. But this king, this God made flesh, we celebrate every year. We remember him every year. If Jesus was the culmination of God's divine plan, if he's risen from the dead and he will reign as king forever, to ignore him, to reject him, to miss out on his kingdom is to miss out on the only thing that truly matters. And all around the world, there are people who honor Jesus as their king. Gathering as the time zones kind of tick around the world, there are people every day this morning gathering to remember Jesus, their King. Currently, the count stands at around 2 billion people. 2 billion people alive today who could get up and honor Jesus as their King. Are they right? Are they on the right side of history? They have bet everything on this eternal king, and they've joined his eternal kingdom. What about you? What about you? Now, when those wise men, when those magi, when they came from the east, they knew they were looking for a king. When they arrived, they found the boy Jesus, and they come with gifts because that's what you do for a king. They bowed before him because that's how you approach a king. Whatever worship was offered to a king in the ancient world, that's what these magi are offering in worship to this child, Jesus. And the call is for everyone, everywhere, to bow the knee to King Jesus. It's true that Jesus is a different kind of king. He's a different kind of king. It's true that his kingdom of peace and justice is it's an utterly different kind of kingdom. It's true that Jesus' reign, it goes beyond nation states and national borders. It's much bigger than that. But every king expects that his subjects will obey him. They will come under his reign and that they will submit to his rule. Paul's words are to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. And so this Christmas here today, I want to urge you to follow the example of the wise men. Worship him. Honor him. Acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and join his eternal kingdom. Would you pray with me? Jesus, there is no one like you. There is no other king like you. Your perfect power and authority, your perfect love and justice, the humility that would lead you to leave heaven to come to earth to redeem us, but then to raise us up with you. Lord, we revel in you. You are the good King. You are the King that we need, and your kingdom is the kingdom that we long for. Father, would you open our hearts? Help us to see this King, to honor this King, to worship this King. And we pray that as we find our place in your kingdom, that we would experience that love and that joy and that peace and that hope and that justice, and that righteousness, everything that you promise. Help us to see him and to live in faithfulness to him and to honour him. We celebrate him this morning and we thank you for everything that you have done to bring us into this kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.